Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to the third class in our series called The Heart of Outreach, where we're equipping one another to more effectively share our faith. And today we're talking about how to share your faith story. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation where you wanted to share your faith, but the words just wouldn't come out right? Maybe you weren't sure where to start or how to make it relatable to the person or people in front of you and with you at the time. Today, we're going to learn from the Apostle Paul how he shared his faith story in some different settings and how, therefore, hopefully we can become more confident in doing the same thing. So by the end of this video, my hope and prayer is that you'll have a clear, simple framework to tell your story in a way that truly connects with people and glorifies God. Firstly, the power of our testimony, being prepared. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Always be ready to make your defense. It's important to prepare our faith story because it gives us words. It gives us ideas that we have already thought through clearly that we can then communicate to other people. And by the way, I've recorded a few other videos and podcasts and some writing indeed on this topic. So I'm going to link to those in the show notes, and I'll try not to duplicate what I'm talking about here today in particular, because we're going to look at the example of the Apostle Paul, learning from him how he shared his story in different contexts. For example, three main ways he did that. Firstly, was he sometimes shared his faith story as a spontaneous testimony. We see this in Acts chapter 22, which we haven't got time to look at right now in detail. Do have a look at it. But that's a spontaneous testimony. Imagine you're in front of an angry mob. You're about to get flogged. You've been falsely accused. And then you get a chance to speak. And what does Paul do? He doesn't argue theologically with the Romans or the Jewish people there. He doesn't argue. He just shares his story. He knows his story. He's able then to share his story in that situation. It wasn't a planned sermon testimony. It was spontaneous. And sometimes opportunities come to us when we least expect them. And it's good for us to think ahead of time how to be ready for that. A few years ago, I was studying theology at the London School of Theology. We did a class on conversion in the Book of Acts. And at the end of that class, the lecturer said, "Who of you here as students were converted in the same way that we see in the Book of Acts?" I put my hand up. I was the only one. The lecturer turned to me and he said, "Well, you better give your testimony." I only had 5 minutes before the bell rang, before the end of the class. I did my best. I shared my faith story in those 5 minutes. And afterwards, between classes and at the coffee lunch break, I had a queue of fellow students asking me to tell them more about my faith story. Of course, I couldn't tell everything in those 5 minutes, but that gave me an opportunity to share what I could and then connect with people beyond that. And I think that's part of the point of a faith story, a testimony, is not so much that we tell everything, but we create curiosity and a desire in the hearts and minds of the people that hear it so that they will want to know more. And I think that's a crucial thing, by the way. Don't think you have to tell the whole story. You need to tell enough to... Well, we'll come on to the detail of this in a minute about the change in you, but also that brings glory to God and creates curiosity. So that's the first kind of testimony we see with the Apostle Paul, a spontaneous one. But there's another type, which is the formal testimony. And we see that in Acts 26 with Agrippa. And in Acts 26, Paul's in prison and he's brought before Agrippa. And in that setting, he had time to prepare. He did that time and he knew his audience in advance. And therefore, it affected the way he structured his story and the way he told it. So have a look in Acts 26 for more detail there and see what you see as the differences between Acts 22 testimony and Acts 26 testimony. Some common areas and some differences because of the different context. At the right moment, he even engages Agrippa in belief and would he believe in Christ and a few things like that. So have a look at that. And I think what this shows us is that Paul had a spontaneous testimony kind of ready, but he also prepared for specific situations where he had an opportunity. So it's important for us to, when we get an opportunity planned ahead of time, like a church testimony, a small group or an event, to make the most of it and prepare well. And by the way, as of the day of recording, I was so delighted to watch Jess's testimony from the Watford Church last Sunday. I watched it this morning. It's fabulous. It's a really good example of someone who's clearly prepared well for a context when she knew she was going to share. If you want to see that example, if you haven't already, go to the Facebook page for the Watford Church of Christ. And about 35 minutes into the recording of the church service, that's when she shares her testimony. Fantastic. So spontaneous testimonies, planned testimonies, but also written testimonies. Because the Apostle Paul also wrote about his faith story in his letters at times. Again, we're not going into these now. Look them up, please. Galatians 1, 1 Corinthians 15, Philippians chapter 3, and 1 Timothy 1, to name but a few. He writes about the change that took place in his life, his defense of his apostleship, his understanding of grace and his calling, his transformation from legalism to faith in Christ, and his own sense of being an example of God's mercy comes out strongly in those testimonies that he writes down. I wonder if you've ever thought about writing down your testimony. If you do so, I think you'll find that it helps to refine your thoughts, gives you greater clarity about what God has done, and also will prepare you to be able to more effectively share that with other people when you get a chance. We might come back to that a little bit later. So those are some examples from the Apostle Paul. Now let's go on to talk about what you might call a three-part testimony framework. It's not a formula, and it's not the only way to do it, but bear with me and see what you think about this kind of framework for telling our faith story. Firstly, before Christ. Secondly, encountering Christ. Thirdly, life after Christ. Three stages, three acts of a story, right? So before Christ, what was your life like before you met Jesus? And it's important in this section here, as we talk about our previous life, to be real, to be a real human being with real issues, to talk about your sin or your emptiness or your loneliness or whatever it is that your life was like. It's important not to kind of glorify our sin. It's also important not to overshare things that people would find difficult to digest, but we'll come back to that another time. But our life before Christ needs fleshing out. It's not, oh, I was a bit lonely and now I'm a Christian, everything's fine. Well, you need to describe your loneliness. What was that like? How did you feel? How did it affect your life? How did it affect the way you felt? So describe your life before Christ. Then, encountering Christ. What led you to faith? What led you to look at Jesus? Not just what brought you to the church, though that's helpful, but what made you think, I want Jesus. I need God as my Father. What was it that took you in that direction? What, in a sense, made it click for you? That's the encountering Christ. And then thirdly, life after Christ. In other words, how has the Christian life been? How has following Jesus changed you? And again, it's important to be specific. Not, I was sad, now I'm happy. Hey. But, and how has it made you happy? How has it following Christ fulfilled you and made you perhaps even more than you ever hoped you could be? How has it changed you? So before Christ, encountering Christ, life after Christ. That's three-step framework for a testimony that you could adopt. You may want to expand on it, but I'd encourage you, if you've not done your testimony before, to use something simple like that. And then once you've shared your testimony, you can, in future opportunities you have, maybe expand on that or develop it further or change it a bit more. See what you think about that. Let's talk a bit about practical application here, sharing in different situations, because different situations might draw out of us different aspects of our faith story that might be useful. So firstly, I'd encourage you to think about how you would share your faith story in a minute, in just 1 minute. Maybe you have an unexpected moment. You're on a tube train. Someone notices you've got a Bible and asks you why you're a Christian. You just have a few moments with somebody, keeping it short. It may be then you need to really be very specific about one issue that Jesus solved for you. So I used to struggle with anxiety, but when I started following Jesus, I found peace. Would you like to know more about that peace that I found? Something very simple like that. And you might also want to think about asking a question back. They ask you why you have a Bible or why you believe what you believe. You may also then want to ask them, but have you ever thought about this? Or if you're talking about anxiety, have you ever felt like that? Again, this may be for those short encounters of a minute or 2 minutes. Then again, let's talk about planned testimonies like Paul in Acts 26. With a planned testimony shared in a group context, perhaps at a church service or something like that, you may have 3 minutes, you may have five, you may have 10. I think Jess on Sunday did about eight or something like that. That's how it seemed, felt about right. Use that three-part framework we talked about earlier. And here's some things to do that I think are very important. Firstly, avoid jargon. Cut out the jargon. It's really important for a non-believer to not get confused by the terminology we use. So therefore, words like quiet time, words like convicted, even the word repentance, though you could use it, but you'd need to qualify it, saying, you know, when I repented, oh, by the way, what that really means is, because for a non-Bible reading, religious Christian type person, it would be, what are they talking about? So be conscious of avoiding the jargon. Secondly, be real, be yourself. Vulnerability connects people. Talk about your life, talk about the real issues of what was going on. Thirdly, do remember that God is the hero, not you, and not even the people that helped you. Though you're grateful for the people that helped you to become a Christian, the real hero here is God. It's not about how great you are or other people are, or even how great the church is not the point. It's about how great God is. So be sure to talk about God as the chief cause of your wonder and your change and your transformation and your joy. Fourthly, adapt what you share to your audience. A testimony to a group of 13-year-olds is likely to be quite different to a testimony to people in a nursing home, mostly in their 80s and 90s. Adjust what you say to the group that you're going to be saying it to. And finally, in your testimony, tell a story. Like the Apostle Paul, when he tells the story of his life before Christ and then his encounter with Christ on the road to Damascus and then what happened, tell a story. Have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Ask yourself when you've prepared it, where is the beginning, where is the middle, where is the end? Let me wrap up and then we'll have some conversation and discussion after this class. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, Paul writes this. He says, "Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." Don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord. We should never need to be ashamed of our testimony. It can be difficult to share our testimony. It can be, on some level, embarrassing, especially if people don't give us a very positive response to us sharing our testimony. But we don't need to be ashamed of our testimony, because it's just we're just telling people what God has done in our lives. And that's just a reality. Whether people like it or not, whether people respect it or not, we are honoring God by talking about what he has done in our lives. Don't be ashamed of your testimony, your story. Matters, and it has power. So, some things to think about. Firstly, if you've never done so, why not write down your testimony this week? And if you've done this before, maybe review it and think about writing it from a different perspective or for a different audience. But write down your testimony over the next few days. And then pray and look for an opportunity to share it, whether it's the 1 minute micro testimony, or whether you get 5, 10, 15 minutes in some context, or perhaps you record it and put it online. But look for an opportunity to share your testimony with somebody. Pray for that. Look for it. And then I think thirdly, I need this. I'm sure we all need it. Pray for boldness. Pray for the boldness and the confidence in God that he will give us that confidence and the boldness and the courage to share our testimony when we have opportunity. We do need to be as ready as we can, but even if we're not as ready as we'd like to be, with God's strength, we can still share our faith story effectively, because it's God, really, that does it all, right? So in our conversations around this, in our sharing, let me ask you, what stood out? What stood out to you from what we talked about here today, the Apostle Paul's example, the call to be prepared? I mean, what stands out for you? Thank you so much for watching this video and taking part in this. I hope it's been helpful. If you have any questions for me, drop me a line. And do check out my other resources I've recorded on this previously, as well as perhaps looking at Jesse's testimony, if you haven't already done so. I wrote some things on this book called The Search for God and the Path to Persuasion by Peter May, which I thoroughly liked. And it has some thoughts in there about testimonies, amongst other things about in terms of sharing our faith. Really good book. And I've written on testimonies as part of the Hosting Sunday Worship series and 10 Commandments for Terrific Testimonies. That's on my website. Anyway, that's all in the show notes. So thanks very much. Take care and God bless.